Watson Hall presents
The Pirates of Drynax, 2nd edition, with Nick Marsh as the Games Master.
The Trojan Reach, the place where empires die.
An oasis of culture and technology in a dangerous and barbaric sector.
Drynax itself was blasted to ash, leaving the floating palace as the only remaining property of the King of Drynax.
He will give you the Harrier as your ship and more. He will give you a letter of mark and reprisal.
Solitary worlds can't bloody hold out against a God's cursed empire.
You take the Harrier and you cut a bloody swathe across the stars. Every ship in space is your legal prey. We do this right. And we'll show there's life in this old empire yet.
An excellent way to make a lot of money really quickly.
They wanted me to be on the prison blinders and I didn't.
Reaching out pleadingly towards us.
I want to build something that lasts.
Wealth distribution is a perfectly reasonable idea.
Or carve out a new kingdom in blood and steel.
Oh, God, that's disturbing. Shall we make a start on Drynax, then, as we're chatting about it?
Yeah. I mean, what do you refer to as a session zero? Because that was always character Jan and discussing the game.
Well, obviously we're going to be using the X card whenever Nick opens his mouth. And
you're making me uncomfortable. I'm sorry about it. It's just my presence. I would just like a bit of, I guess motivation is the thing. I feel like the last
time... Do you not feel you have any motivation? You seem quite keen.
I can't be bothered. This is a very open-ended campaign and it's very player-driven.
Big, expensive laminated map.
Exactly. Ooh, it wasn't that expensive.
The laminated map of dreams.
It was like £15. But I'm very pleased. I've been colouring it in and everything. I've been really enjoying myself. So I've got my money's worth out of it already. But we'll go through the introduction, but the setup of the game is you have been, and this is what I want to discuss in session zero. You've been handed a Harrier, basically a raiding ship by the king of a faded, empire who wants to bring his empire back to the
piracy. Okay.
And his idea is basically you make yourself enough of a nuisance, and you gain the support of nearby worlds, that it's just easier for the Imperium to say, have your empire back then, and recognize you as an empire than to come and destroy you. The trick is you're in between the Imperium on one side and the Aslan on the other. And so that's why you're sort of a buffer zone. So if you make it in the Imperium's interest to recognize you as an independent kingdom, that might work. I mean, I'm not saying it's a great plan, but that is the plan you've been handed.
At least I can understand I can understand the thinking behind it, even if I might raise my eyebrows when it's explained to me.
Well, the idea, I guess what I'm asking is, what I'd like to know, or at least I'd like you guys to have a clear idea in your mind is, why is that? Whatever you think about the plan, you don't have to be on board with it particularly, but what you have to be on board with is doing the thing. You all have to think, oh my God, this Harrier opportunity that I've been given is absolutely my best chance at whatever goal I've got. It's got to be the thing you want to do, because if you're not interested in doing it, we haven't got much of a campaign. So I guess that's the point of session zero. Got to be a thing that you are excited for, even if you've got some plans to pinch the Harrier and go somewhere else, or betray the king or whatever. It's got to be, you have got to, when you're asked, and you may have some idea why the king has picked you out. You may not. But the fact is, he has said, I've got this Harrier. I'm going to give it to you. As a loan, I want you to cut a bloody swathe across the stars. And you've got some idea. Well, you get to name it.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a loan.
Well, you get to name it. Well, it has its own name, which is written somewhere, but it's entirely up to you what you call it. It's a high-tech house. Basically, the Drynaxian Empire pissed off the Aslan. So they were very high-tech. They said to the Aslan, any trade that comes through here, you're going to give us half of it, half the proceeds or whatever. So the Aslan bombed their world from orbit and destroyed it. So it wasn't very popular. So, but because they have a floating palace, the palace survived. We'll go through all this more. But what they did have was when the attack happened, this Harrier jumped in to try and defend the homeworld, misjumped. They all died of a radiation leak on board, and it took 200 years for them to discover this ship floating in the Oort cloud. They've just found it, and the current king has decided he wants...
It's probably safe enough by now.
It's fine. But we've disabled all the Geiger counters as a precautionary measure.
The half-life was way less than 200 years. Is there an envelope labelled Contents of Giant Space Wasp Stomach?
So it was this huge Baroque high-tech empire. Some of you are from... I mean, we can, I guess what we'll do is we, if we go through the characters in order, and I just want some idea. If you'd rather not say in front of the other characters, that's fine. But again, I'd like some idea of... You will all... The premise of the campaign at the start is you'll have been brought together and given warning that this is going to happen, which is why you'll have been able to spend some ships yet. This is such a high-tech ship, it's very hard to... It was already a bit damaged. It's very hard to repair, but the shipyard on the floating palace of Drynax can fit it up. They're just very short of materials and money to do it. But at the start of the campaign, you've spent some of your own resources to bring that together. Mm-hmm. So we'll start the campaign with you having been told what he wants you to do and having fitted up the ship. If you're up for it, again the idea basically is you just go where you want and do what you like and try. There are some pre-written adventures that come in with it. I can start with a short kind of tutorial adventure, if you like. There is one for it. If you'd rather just head off on your own, that's fine by me as well.
We'll see how we go.
So we've got sort of a letter of mark, is that basically it?
That's exactly what you've got, is a letter of mark. The problem with a letter of mark is it only counts if you have a recognised empire. So if you make Drynax an empire, then it will retroactively kind of forgive all your acts of piracy. If you don't, you're pirate. And again, you might not want to do piracy. You might just want to fly around doing good deeds. It's entirely up to you. But the king's plan is you disrupt commerce going across.
Actually, Nick, do you want to do page 17? Because I have the clips available.
Okay. Well, I was going to go through the characters first, but
go for it.
And then I thought we could just start the campaign proper. But that's just the basis of the idea, and then we can go through. I have a few things I'd like you all to read, and then we have a special guest reading for some of the others. Well, let's start in the order I've got them written on my little spreadsheet here. Jaffa Tunnockson. So what's Jaffa's history?
Okay, so Jaffa is ex-Imperium. He had to leave rather quickly. When he's drunk, he gives 4, 5, 6 different explanations involving admiral's daughters, slight issue with a gambling debt of mega credits.
I do notice that he has the near suicidal enemy disadvantage of Imperial Navy.
Indeed, but not very often.
Yikes.
Not very often.
I'm just thinking that image that was going around a bit with lightning striking the sea and the caption, these three fish in particular, God. That's how the Imperial Navy feels about you.
Yep.
While that slightly reminds, is everyone okay with the history of the Traveller setting? Vague idea of what's going on?
Yeah. Bless.
I never
paid a great deal of attention to that. That wasn't what Traveller was to me, so I just tended to ignore that.
But
I know
that
was the first empire, and it sank.
That's basically it. That
fell over and sank.
Long
into
ago,
the swamp.
There were the ancients. They, for inscrutable reasons, took humans from Earth and seeded them throughout the galaxy. They also did it with canids. not sure why, but fast forward to one particular...
for dog jokes mainly.
I will
they,
say
they
the
were
ancient...
just so impressed with us that they couldn't bear to leave us behind.
There is a canonical story behind the ancients. I'm not using that. My ancients are not the ancients from Traveller lore. So there are relics and ruins of that. One of this sect of humanity, on a particularly tough planet where they could barely digest food, and so they had to, they basically had to develop high tech very quickly, or they were going to die. And there were ancient artifacts there. On a planet called Villand, formed the first Imperium. So they created this huge interstellar human nation, which did very well for thousands of years, and then eventually sort of, they only had sort of relatively low level jump drives. Each jump, ships all have jumps, and you can jump one parsec per jump drive. They couldn't get that far. That basically means you're very geographically limited to how far you can go, because you don't want to jump into deep space.
Can't do the whole Kessel run, can you?
Well, I mean, you could. In less than 12 parsecs, you'd need to... Well, it would take you 6 weeks to jump two ships. So, there you are. The Villand Empire, the first Imperium, kind of concreted and didn't progress any further. Meanwhile, humans from Earth, the Solomani, the men of Sol, reached space, got very excited, got to Barnard Star and realized they were actually not the first into space, and they were actually on the fringes of a vast empire already conquered by humans. Against all the odds, they overtook the first empire. They got to the core of its systems, knocked it over, and they became the second Imperium, the rule of man. Eventually, over many thousands of years, we had the fall of Night, which is basically that the empire couldn't, the center couldn't hold. It was too far apart. It collapsed. There was a long period of time in which worlds didn't really talk to each other, and interstellar travel was largely just for elites and very few people. That is the period in which Drinax rose to prominence. Mm-hmm. And then the current empire, the third empire, is kind of a prince of Solomani descent, took the best details of the first Imperium to form this kind of merged third Imperium, which is Solomani / Villani, but is it its own thing. And now
that both sides feel that the other side is overrepresented.
Yes, exactly. So they now rule a lot of space, but on the fringes there are alien races, the Varga, which are canid descendants.
Represent.
Genetically modified. Aslan, which are nothing to do with cats. I get the Varga. Funnily enough, the Varga and the Aslan don't get on very well. If only there's an expression for how they fought. But you in the...
Just nail?
Oh, yeah, that'll be it, yeah. In the Trojan Reach, you're in the gap, basically, between the fringes of the Imperium and the fringes of the Aslan. There is a treaty in place.
They do have good fringes.
They have lovely fringes. The Aslan are not allowed, in theory, to come within 30 parsecs of the Imperium. You are the jam in the middle, though. So that's a potted history of the Imperium and Traveller, basically. Jaffa, sorry, I interrupted you.
So no one's quite sure why. He's kind of been knocking around, mostly being useful. He's a pretty good engineer. In fact, actually, compared to a lot of the Dranax guys, he's a very good engineer.
So he found himself on Dranax, did he?
He found himself on Dranax. He found himself where the Imperium didn't really want to go after him. And in fact, it's been long enough now. Let's say 15 years or so. So they're aware of him. But at the moment, they're very unlikely to go after him. Only 6 or less on a 3D6.
If you wanted to put a numerical value on it, based on a 3D6.
Yes, exactly.
So what's Jaffa's skill set? What does he do?
He is a
mechanic. He's a very, very, very good mechanic.
I've got here his best skill is engineer starships.
Indeed, his engineer
amongst his best skills.
Amongst his best skills is engineer starships, but I think he's good at 16. I'm going to say it's 16. It is at 16, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But anything where he's got to fix it, fiddle with it, and generally pull it apart, make it better again, as long as it's not organic, he is going to be... He's pretty good. He's starting to annoy a few people on the palace, and they have gently suggested that this would be a really good outlet for him.
Please. Now, what is it about this mission that Jaffa's excited about?
It's a way to make money.
Okay, that's what he's interested in. What does he want money for?
Stuff. Basically, anything sort of involving starships and bits and pieces involves a lot of dosh. And Drynax, even though it's all gold plated, take away the gold plate, and it's all kind of, it's basically fur coat, no knickers, as my mother would say.
It's exactly saying things like that as to why they want you off the
That's okay. Of course, racist against Margaret.
I notice you're curious, greedy, and overconfident.
Yeah.
And xenophilic.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, from his point of view, he's kind of knocked around and realised that basically, whether it's Aslan, Bargara, Kree, all of their credits spend just as well. So, from his point of view, he really doesn't have a problem with non-humans.
Again, it is exactly the sort of thing we're saying to the nobles of Drynax. My money's as good as anyone else's. It's another reason they quite like you off the palace, because they beg to disagree. Right. I think I've got an idea of the sort of guy. And he's curious about this ship that he hasn't seen the like of.
And it's a tech. Basically, he likes to play. And if by playing he can basically rebuild a jump drive, well, even better.
And how does he feel about piracy and morals? And does that trouble him?
A good way of making money, isn't it?
Right. Okay.
Especially if we go after the Imperials.
Right, so he's no fan of the Empire.
They kicked him out, not the other way around.
Right. Okay, all right. Let's switch to Ozan Chal. Shim?
Me.
Shim, tell us about Ozan Chal.
There's my extensive character background. Ozan was brought up on Drynax. He's part of a
post-melting,
one of the surviving,
barely habitable
sort of tribes. I'm not clear what sort of degree of sophistication the tribes are at, but I'm assuming since Drynax has some involvement with them. Since the floating palace has some involvement with them and is trying to get this redevelopment thing going, that there's some level of sophistication.
They're known as Vespexes. They'd be a weird combination of basically primitive tribesmen, but with advanced knowledge. A lot of them will have forgotten that because it's of no benefit to them whatsoever, but there will be people.
Maybe in theory you know about this thing, but it's not relevant, so it doesn't matter.
But there will be people on the tribe who deal with the nobles on the palace what they need in trade.
So, basically his job and kind of the tribe's job is to survive, but also try and slowly... recolonize, essentially.
Their own
restoration. Restoration project. Massive restoration project alongside what they're doing.
I mean, it wasn't a nuclear bombardment, but it doesn't matter too much when someone's firing rocks at semi-light speed.
Exactly. So the surviving stuff, he's not kind of frothingly anti-Aslan, but at the same time, you grow up and they are 100% the villain in every story everyone tells you.
Right, yes.
So it's that kind of, obviously...
Obviously,
Aslan are villains. That's what they do. That's Aslan. Like that's
they're his kind of Nazis in a way. He's been grown up. They're the villains you can have safely.
Yeah, it's just kind of automatic. You know, it's automatic. During one of these projects, when his lot were helping one of the more technically adept groups, maybe from the Floating Palace, not entirely sure about that. There was some incidents, and then that project was shut down. And then he was somewhere else for a while.
Hmm.
Specifically kidnapped by the group of his people who were helping on this project were taken off-world by some people as yet unidentified.
And they done things to you.
And subjected to tests in institutes. Lots of, you know, doing mental exercises, being in machines, etc. And he was stuck there for 8 years, at which point someone claiming to be from the kin of Drenax showed up in the facility and started muttering to him about an escape plan. And most of them got out.
Okay, and did you all end up on the palace, or is it just you that was on the palace?
So I think most of us got out, most of us got back to Drenax, probably not everyone. We got back specifically to the Floating Palace where we were dropped off. We got your people back. And has been put to work in... where's my list of things? Basically put to work in some Far Trader for a while until it was demolished by pirates.
So he's not a fan of pirates either?
Definitely not a fan of specifically the pirates of Freed?
Thieve.
Thieve. Pirates Subtle. Of Thieve. Yeah.
Which is
not a thing, honest.
Mm-hmm. Who are obviously another lot of people just trying to keep the hard-working Vespaxian down.
So what are your ability? Why would you think... So the king does come to you and offer you this. Mm-hmm. Why do you think he would? And what is your mm-hmm. skill set?
In a very broad sense, I think... Everyone was brought back with the plan that some of them would prove to be useful. And it turns out all that weird hypnotic training stuff they did has made him very good at certain space-related things.
Right. He can do unusual things, or so it's rumoured.
Very good at navigating... strategy, tactics, intelligence analysis.
I had your highest skill here as machinist.
Machinist is on there. That's at 11. You may have a slightly outdated version.
Okay.
So this was based on some suggestions for having a more relevant set of skills.
That makes me happy.
Okay.
So he's a good navigator.
Yeah.
That's probably why the king wants him on the ship.
Yeah, good navigator, good strategist, space strategist.
How does Ozan feel about the plan?
He's seen what is going on the surface, and he's going, you know, okay, this is a lovely, you know, this plan is good. This plan, and if we had 1,000 years to. Recolonize and restore Drenax. Yeah, maybe that would work, but we haven't got 1,000 years.
So we need a lot of money.
This
is an excellent way to make a lot of money really quickly.
Yeah.
Or at least so Jaffa says.
So he's...
Or have no need of a lot of money very quickly, yeah, exactly. Depending on how it goes.
One or the other. You know, he's aware that, especially now he's spent time on the Floating Palace and he's seen and heard about the gradual selling off of the, you know, the valuables, and going, okay, this is not sustainable. This is not sustainable. We need an infusion and we need allies.
Yes, Drinax is basically running out of money. They are a floating art gallery.
Selling off the family silver.
Exciting stuff in the world. But yeah.
You know, he is from a tribal culture and, yeah, you know, if your tribe is struggling to survive, what you do is either you go and fight somebody else or, preferably, you band together with some other people into a bigger tribe that does have the resources and the skills to survive.
Pinch someone else's stuff. Okay, yeah. All right. So you're on board.
Yes. Yeah.
One of the things I should have mentioned about Jaffa is, unfortunately, during his time, he actually kind of lost his voice box and now sounds a little bit like Stephen Hawking.
Excellent.
I am not laughing. Sorry, that was... Yeah, that's fine.
Basically, he has the disturbing voice disadvantage.
And how will you be portraying this? With some sort of voice changer?
Yeah,
well, I really was thinking about it.
I think we're going to have Mark unable to talk other than through a voice machine during the game. Don't do that.
We could probably find something that anything you type turns into Stephen Hawking's voice. I'm pretty sure it's out there.
It will be.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell us about Azan?
Yeah. Really likes plants. Really likes plants.
Allergic to dogs.
Food. Loves food, eats a lot, sleeps a lot.
Doesn't seem to put on a lot of weight.
Just consumes a lot of calories.
On those lucky guys.
Has quite significant scars around the kind of neck and side of face area from some obviously quite clumsy surgery at some point.
All right, let's move on to Rursain, is it?
Mm-hmm. Do you have a pronunciation right there?
Thank you. Rursain, the Varga.
Varga, which, as everybody knows, just ask him, is the royal line of the original kings of Glorodon.
Most people don't know.
Point to the pug.
Okay.
I've been doing the same sort of thing in the Imperium for a long time, but I left over a minor difference of opinion. They wanted me to be on a prison planet, and I didn't. Shame about the rest of the crew and the ship, which is why I'm currently seeking employment.
And why you've got an enemy, presumably.
Yeah, one or two people might show up and want to talk about old times. It'll be fine.
Who amongst us is going to quibble about such matters?
I know it's three of the four of you have an enemy, so lovely.
I'm feeling a bit left out, actually.
Give it time, don't worry.
It's probably an old manager or something in the background, I don't know.
But as well as the simple make lots of money, because, you know, where my bitch is at and all that, I would have built something.
You can actually get away with it.
Okay, we had the potted history of the Imperium. The history of the Varga extends. Basically goes with one Varga, got a bunch of others to follow him, and built a government, built a state. Then another Varga came along and took it away from him, and repeat times 50 million. I want to build something that lasts. And if that's a tired-ass old empire that can get an infusion of new fur, well, that's what it's going to be.
Oh, God, that's a disturbing image. Okay, yeah, well, being in at the ground, maybe you could influence it, or even maybe it could be a Varga empire one day.
How many Aslanders that don't change a light bulb? 5 million males to invade the planet and one female who can read.
I like him already.
Yeah.
In terms of ship skills, sensors, electronic warfare, demolition, that's a ship skill, right? In terms of interpersonal skills, diplomacy, fast talk, demolition.
Demolition.
Okay. And why you are overconfident, so maybe it's a pointless question, but why do you think you have been asked to join the ship?
It's obviously my natural talent.
You're amazing, yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Also, well, I was in the area.
Yes. So you'd ended up at Drown. How long have you been on the palace or around the palace?
Probably not long. I must say, I don't seem having the patience to live in a place like that without getting into duels for more than a few weeks.
Oh yeah, they're big on duels. Yeah.
Yeah, but they use weapons and stuff.
All right, Sam. Sam, what's he called? Macaroon Sam?
Zalask. He's not called Macaroon Sam, no.
Is it a suggestion?
He's called Sam Zalask.
Yes, okay.
I was playing around with the I'm afraid I have really very little background for Sam. I had been playing around with the idea that he'd been known by the stage name of Hologram Sam. And this was purely because I was doing the dishes and listening to T-Rex. that's as far as that went. Now, you'll notice he doesn't have any skills related to performance, playing instruments, singing, any of that sort of stuff. So which may explain...
So he was punk.
So my thought is that he did sort of do that for a bit, late teens, early 20s maybe. It wasn't working out. He was, you know, part of a band where he obviously didn't have any talents and probably nobody else did. Except that one guy who thought he was Tony Banks.
Was he any kind of celebrity in the Imperium?
Not in the Imperium, no, it's not. I think it would have been perhaps really minor. They might have done a tour, but it's the sort of thing where the manager, you know, one of those deals where the manager just picks up not the next big thing, but someone he knows he can make some money out of for a short period of time and then abandon them on a distant world. So he got abandoned somewhere. And he's been sort of half-heartedly working his way back ever since, picking up a variety of skills and things, and a while ago ended up here. But he's basically trying to leave.
I quite like the idea, although he's a very minor celebrity, probably King Oleb, who is a contrary sort of guy, probably did know the band and was a fan of some kind, which might have something to do with why he offered you the tip.
Maybe.
No one else has heard of you.
He wouldn't have done it for skill reasons particularly, although he may have found out I'm a pilot and thought, oh great, perhaps well, I feel get like him off the bloody world.
He knew you, and maybe he's got half an idea. He's almost a celebrity. Maybe we could make something up.
With the sort of exposure that this guy can give our empire.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a great plan, but it might be a good reason why he thought you'd be good on the ship. Why is it Sam's dream job?
It's very much like all the other jobs he's done over this period, except it's one of the rare occasions when somebody's asked him to do something he is actually qualified for, in that he has learned piloting at some point. He's essentially aiming to head back in the general direction of wherever the hell he came from, and he's going to need some cash, he's going to need some connections that aren't just local, and it kind of works out nicely for that.
Now, I notice you're obsessed with... You were initially obsessed with ancients. I've slightly fiddled that to be also obsessed with just generally ancient empires, because the Sindal Empire is what preceded the Drinax Empire, and it's long enough ago, probably 2,000 years ago, that it's sort of long enough into history that it's become a bit of a legendary empire by itself.
Yeah, he's essentially somebody who has spent a lot of time in places that are sheltered and free. So a lot of library time in places that have those, and just kind of drifted into it. You know, when he's been out of work, he's been wandering around the tourist traps or walking in the hills and found old ruins or whatever it happens to be. And just gradually, over a few years, it became something that, instead of him just happening to notice that something old was over there, he started seeking it out a bit.
And I didn't ask Rursain how he felt about pirating, because I feel like that was quite clear.
This is an important cultural point, which he will tell you about for hours at a time, which we will elide for purposes of this session. Vargr Corsairs are not pirates. They may do some shipborne thieving related activities. But they are also the guardians of their home communities. I mean, they're really much more like a street gang.
Okay, well, you've got that is better. Yeah. It's almost poetic, yes. How does Sam feel about...
Sharks in the jet.
Robbing the rich to give to him.
Listen, I've got nothing to stand up for in terms of those rich bastards. Wealth distribution is a perfectly reasonable idea that I don't particularly mention to the Emperor. But I've spent most of my time with no wealth whatsoever. So actually having some would be a fun diversion.
Whenever
at this stage, it's
money,
getting off world that's the major draw. But in terms of what he has to do when he's out there, you know, not going to hurt anybody, is it? He's showing his naivety about piracy.
Let's hope not. All right, okay. Well, I do think that is a reasonable rundown. Incidentally, we have a pilot in Sam. We have a sensors operator in Rursan. We have a navigator in Ozan. And we have an engineer in Jaffa. So that's a pretty good complement, ship's complement. All right, well, I if you're all happy then with running sort of an open-ended thing where you do what you like, then we can get started, I guess.
As far as I'm concerned, the GM has a bigger picture of what's going on than we do. If you were to point us towards something at whatever point, then I'm not going to argue with it.
There will be nudges and nibbles. There are pre-written adventures. You can ignore them.
You know, I never turned down a nibble for long.
If you ignore them, events will continue. Right. Oh, Jesus. Sorry. for listeners, Mark has equipped what I can only decide as the disembodied head of a moose. Yeah, okay. Well, there we are.
Reaching out pleadingly towards us.
Well,
it's
I thought
the droopy antlers, hasn't it, really?
That's got very droopy antlers, but that's fine.
Have you considered pipe cleaner or something like that?
Well, I actually was thinking about sticking a wire in there. But what I would love to do, actually...
You realise your head would be in the middle and that might be a problem.
No, but I mean, what I would love to do is basically kind of do a bit of an old ass, you know, have
an old ass.
Some form of button or whatever. And if you remember the old asterisk, where...
The wings on the helmet.
Yeah, the wings on the helmet, you know.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with, you know, this is a surprised moose, this is a happy moose, this is a moose on a rainy night.
Wow.
I thought you all needed to see that, because...
No, it's very good. Don't take it off on my account.
But if you could take it off of my account, that would be great. Well, what I'd like to do then, and this will be, there'll be very little kind of prescriptive stuff here, but I think in the manner of a handout, if we could read the first page of chapter 3 of book 2 together in the manner of a handout, which will just give us some background story. I'm sure Roger can link to it. That's actually page 14 of book 2. If we read the welcome to the
beach. I've got appendix 2.
Hang on a sec.
Is this where the character sheet was?
This may be, now I'm assuming you all had book 2. But I may be wrong there. It's basically the background of
I think it is briefing PDF. I'm just checking now.
Okay, let me just have a look.
What page
Yeah, that's
page
it.
14.
Welcome to the Reach.
Yes, and we can all kind of rotate.
Desk.
And up until the Kingdom of Drynax, we've sort of covered that. But let's just read the opening as an opening of the
briefing.
Campaign.
Yeah, briefing PDF, page 15, in terms of PDF page numbering.
No, you must...
Okay.
The outrun void, the Trojan reach, the place where empires die. I wasn't going to just read I thought that might be... Okay, so
The crew's going well already.
The Trojan Reach, place where empires die.
between the Spinwood marches and the ever-advancing Aslan Hierate is an expanse of world space called the Trojan Reach. It's making me think of condoms. A narrow ribbon of stars, the dust spice trade route, links the two empires. Every day, ships brave the perilous crossing from Imperium to Hierate, navigating a circuitous route from Fist. Tobia 3215 to Tioch something 226.
Tioha, which is the sector name for where Drynax is, but most diehards who are human still call it the Drynax sector.
Okay. Between these two worlds is a sea of lawless, dangerous planets.
There we are, shut up.
The Reach is where empires run aground and mortally wound themselves, and where fortunes can be made on trade and commerce. The First Imperium never conquered the Reach. The Second Imperium left isolated colonies across its expanse, and even the Third Imperium claims no more than a sixth of the systems here.
During the Long Night, another petty empire arose here. The Empire of Sindel. The Sindalians were barbarian raiders who crowned themselves kings and conquered several dozen worlds before their subjects rose up against them. Today, Sindel is a ruined world of a few hundred dirt farmers whose ancestors once ruled all the night sky, and the Sindalian Empire is remembered in confused tales of a golden age and wars amid the stars. When the Empire of Sindel collapsed, outlying regional capitals became the seat of even lesser kings, and the longest lasting of these was Drynax. Pliawaha 2223. Drynax's kings claimed half the worlds in their subsector for generations. The Drynaxians were wiser than their cousins. They learned to hide the iron fist of orbital bombardment behind a velvet glove of trade and protection. Drynax itself became a garden world, fat and plump, an oasis of culture and technology in a dangerous and barbaric sector. The floating palace of Drynax, a huge citadel of beauty and art suspended on a grav platform of prodigious size, was a wonder of the galaxy.
Then another empire came to the Trojan Reach. The Aslan were numerous, hungry, aggressive, and confident. And the Emperor of Drynax was fat, lazy, and wholly unaware of the sheer number and might of the Hierate. The Aslan trade routes to the Imperium ran through the kingdom of Drynax, and the kings became greedy. They demanded tolls, taxes, bribes, and the Aslan were incensed. In a single bloody war lasting less than a year, the Aslan scattered the last surviving remnant of the old empire of Sindel. Drynax's subject worlds were either conquered by the Aslan or revolted. Drynax itself was blasted to ash, leaving the floating palace as the only remaining property of the King of Drynax.
One palace and a few ships. That was 200 years ago. Today, trade ships from the Imperium and the Hierate pass by broken, beggared worlds. The worlds once claimed by Drynax realise they have exchanged one master for another, and that even the Aslan have even less regard for them than the kings did. The Imperium and the Hierate pretend to be friends while they jockey for position. The sector stands on a knife edge. The right pressure could push half the Trojan Reach into the claws of the Aslan, force an already overstretched Imperium to extend its forces deeper into the sector, permit Drynax to rise again, or carve out a new kingdom in blood and steel!
Whoa.
Now is the time for Corsicas and privateers, for rogues and empire builders. The King of Drynax offers a small band of trusted, resourceful bastards the chance to make their fortune. He gives them a ship and a letter of marque. Trojan letter, if you would. They are to go adventuring Trojan Reach.
The king has not slipped you a condom in the opening of this. Just to continue.
They go adventuring in the Trojan Reach, preying on shipping and build up support in the worlds once held by the kingdom of Drynax, playing the two great powers off against each other. If they succeed, they will become princes in this, in the renewed kingdom. If they fail, the star will be their grave.
That's a really cold grave.
Gotta be honest, that seems less appealing.
I've still yet to find where we are.
Okay,
that's alright, John. So it makes you feel any better. I couldn't, the first bit I was reading by skewing my eyes because I'd got it at full page and I couldn't actually read the blasted thing properly. So I then zoomed in and then found out that the thing I was reading basically didn't fit on the full page, and so I had to do some mad scrolling. But hey, it's all worked out in the end. And it will at least sound quite good after Roger does an awful lot of editing.
Now, you all remember back to that moment in the throne room when King Olaf offered you a chance for glory. So he gathered you all there. There weren't many other people there. It was just him and a few servants. And he explained his plan to you, which I will explain with the help of a trained actor. So much better than me. He will give you the Harrier as your ship and more. He will give you a letter of marque and reprisal. This document gives you the right to prey on merchant and military shipping within the borders of the old Empire of Sindal that does not carry the proper documentation. Documentation. That was a very poor taste, wasn't it? I'm sorry. The king, the king grins at you.
Of course, no one's carried those papers in bloody centuries. Every ship in space is your legal prey, but I don't want cutthroats and murderers. I want thieves.
We're
not paying him for this, are we?
A map of the Trojan Reach. On one side, there's the great red expanse of the Third Imperium. On the other, the golden glow of the Aslan Hierat. Between the two are dozens of points of light, each marking a different independent star system. Threads of commerce and trade run between the two empires like arteries.
Once every world along that trade route shared in the bounty. Traders paid taxes to use our space and our starports. Then, because my ancestors were greedy bastards, everything fell apart. The kingdom collapsed, and that meant those cold-blooded Valani snakes picked the Trojan Reach apart. It's every world for themselves out there right now, and solitary worlds can't bloody hold out against a God's cursed empire.
He throws himself heavily into the armoured bulk of the Dragon Throne.
So, here's what we're going to do. You take the Harrier and you cut a bloody swathe across the stars. Attack shipping, raid starports, hit fuel depots, take whatever prices you can. Don't kill anyone you don't have to, though. We want to bleed the merchants until they go crying to the Imperium, not start a bloody war. Pirating is just part one of the plan. Part two is all those worlds out there. We make them our allies. Sell stolen goods there. Defend them from raiders. Recruit crew. Give them a taste of wealth. And bring them back under the domain of Drynax. When the time comes, we offer the Imperium a deal. The pirate attacks stop if they recognize the kingdom of Drynax and give me my rightful due.
At this point, he slams his meaty fist into the arm of the Dragon Throne.
We're doing this right. And we'll show there's life in this old empire yet. Now, the terms. We keep this a secret from the Imperium for as long as possible, and that means you keep that letter of marque hidden until we sign a peace. The ship's being loaned to you. You're responsible for repairs and maintenance, but she's coming home in the end. 10% of any money you make comes to me. Spend as much as you can spare on the colony worlds and curry favour with them. We'll need them on our side if this isn't going to blow up in our faces.
He leans works, back in his throne.
Oh. You'll be made dukes of my court. And get in here, daughter. This whole scheme is your idea.
At this point, the Crown Princess of Drinex, Princess Rao, a young girl in her mid-twenties, beautiful and elegant, enters. Do I have to explain the whole clandestine part of this scheme to you again, sire? She smiles at you, and you're not sure if she's amused or furious. The king rises from his throne and takes his daughter's hand in his meaty, slabby, huge fist.
Have you added then the meaty bit? Because it seems to be, you know, the one key adjective.
Sorry, king, continue.
If we're going to save this kingdom, daughter, we shall just have to trust these travellers. After all, if they succeed, you're marrying one of them.
The dog.
Definitely the dog.
With that skin.
Are you kidding?
That is the premise of the campaign. You have been handed a high-tech ship. The king wants you to cut a bloody swathe across the stars. And do it however you like, really. I mean, you have a jump-through vessel. If you're interested, I have sort of a relatively short introductory adventure. If you just want to head off and do things, that is also fine by me.
Well, we should probably check it over and then get some beers in and have a meeting in the stateroom or whatever it's got and discuss how we want to go about this. Come up with some plans, targets, methods, not just for what we go for, but also how to get away, where to lie low.
Now, during this whole meeting, there has been a pretty sour-faced middle-aged gentleman standing there with his arms crossed. Those of you who have been on the palace for a while, which is most of you, one way or another, will recognise him as Lord Rax, who is is kind of the commander of the military, such as it is. He does not look at all impressed with this plan. As you can imagine, he's been handed one of the few military vessels he's got and then taken away from him and given to, from his perspective, a bunch of strangers. So he doesn't say anything, but he is...
not a fan.
Not a fan of this whole mission.
Don't worry, Rax. It'll probably blow up by itself anyway while we're on it, so...
He...
Everybody turns towards Jaffa.
Don't think that's reassuring.
Not from your chief engineer, no.
Well, it's a lot better than it was. I mean, you should have seen it when we first got it.
So the Harrier is a Baroque beauty. I mean, it's fitted out with brass knobs. It's very, wood paneling. It's very tasteful.
You should never put gold on a ship.
I mean, not maybe from an engineering perspective, that's true. But it is—it's a bit worn. The cabins are gorgeous. You all have a description of the Harrier, but it is beautiful but damaged. At some point in the last few months, you have managed to do something with some of that damage.
We've painted over it.
Yes.
Well, actually, funny you should say that, but sort of yes, because we've got the hologram projector working.
Well, we need to discuss which of those things we.
Well, I'm prompting you to discuss. You are shown round the Harrier, and you can discuss what you. But
I'm gonna kind of suggest that probably Jaffa's been involved in fixing stuff on the grounds that. He's probably one of the better engineers around.
Well, I mean, in your kind of points you spent on this, you know, Jaffa is... You will be able to help fixing it through the campaign. But at this point, you have been involved in repairing. I mean, currently it has a damaged hull. It's got one working turret and another one that you're just using for cargo. It used to have a holographic hull, i.e. you could put whatever livery you liked on it. But that seems to be broken. It's got a number of broken things.
Doesn't periodically just kick in and disguise the ship as something else?
Like a police box.
Like a police box, exactly. Yes.
No, that would be silly.
It's the wrong shape, so,
yeah,
anyway.
Feel free to discuss tactics.
Well, as far as
I think we should go have a look.
The whole camouflage is vital. Whatever else we fix, we've got to fix that.
I think so.
Because we've got to be a bunch of different ships to make this work.
Yeah, but we could...
Now, it is
if we can land somewhere, we can effectively repaint it cheaper than fixing the hologram thing.
The holographic hull doesn't... Now, Jaffa has some ideas on this front, but he hasn't had time to do it yet. It doesn't affect the shape. It still looks like a Drinax Harrier, which is quite a distinct... I mean, think Klingon Warbird, and you won't be far off the mark.
But it turns into a Klingon Warbird in a Hawaiian shirt. Is that what you're telling me?
A pink Klingon Warbird.
And, I mean, how many people are going to have seen a Drinax Harrier?
Not many. So the collapse of Drinax and the Aslan attack was 200 years ago. So there are people, you know, we have anti-agathics in Traveller. There are people alive who...
probably no Vargr. Young, quite a low lifespan, haven't they?
Wow.
Not as good.
I mean, he's right there.
Oh, right. Mm. I'm just casting my mind back to the little bit of that alien module I read. I was mostly a Hivers kind of guy.
I mean, to be fair, short lifespan because usually doing something interesting. But...
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Overconfident and curious might have something to do with that. But weirdly enough, that is not Rhys Sam that has that. Oh, no, he does have overconfident. In fact, we have two members of the crew with overconfident.
Yeah, I was trying to get rid of it, but I've sort of... Oh, God.
I'm overconfident and curious. What do you want?
Is there anyone here who isn't... It's Ozan, isn't
it? Knows his place. He's quite happy staying on board the ship.
You're not careful, some bastard will kidnap you and stick you in an institute for 8 years and make you do maths.
Wow. So let me just run down the other things we can do with the other share. We can fix the second turret, but right now we don't have one full-time gunner, so I don't see that as a high priority. We can...
Yeah.
There's some stuff we can fix to cut down the ongoing maintenance cost.
Yeah, it currently is very expensive, mate. It's going to cost you 10,000 credits a month to maintain.
That's quite expensive.
Are there any corners we can cut?
No.
Well, if you repair it a bit, it drops it by, I think it's 2,000 credits.
Yeah, so
and
each
$5
million we put in cuts it down by 2,000 a month. Do you think we're going to be lasting 2,500 a month?
It does seem like it. Well, that's why it will be a good time to do it now when you're not having to put 5 million credits into it.
Okay. Also, there are some fractures in the keel. In game terms, that's lower total ship hit points.
In game terms, actually, in this, it's dropping your DR from 30 to 20.
That's a whole different story.
Mm. Oh, okay. Sorry.
And there's the military countermeasures suite, which obviously I have a personal interest in. There's the power plant, and it's already quite tight on power because the holographic camouflage takes a lot.
Now, there is a whole thing in GURP spaceships about moving power, and I'm going to use it. I'm just going to lift it straight out of the Drinax campaign, as it's in hundreds of power points, and you have to work out where
as
you're
putting to power.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
The summary is you're going to have to choose whether you shoot or maneuver or have your holographic hull on. Unless you put...
Oh, God.
Sort the power. Now, Jaffa will be able to manipulate that a bit in a fight, but...
And I would like to point out I was hired because I can fly high-performance spacecraft. I feel I've been sold a duck here.
That's only 0.1G.
It might... Just at the moment, there is a chance that when we're on, not when we're in jump is all right, but the manoeuvre stuff, there is
as soon as you walked in, I said, I like you, I've got nothing against you, like.
Yeah, but neither of you. So the manoeuvre stuff may just conk out every so often. Don't worry about it.
It probably won't happen at a really vital manoeuvre.
It's really unlikely to happen now.
We can always do the emergency spin thing where you just get an airlock and vent the engineer.
I love that.
Sorry, did I say engineer out loud?
How are you handling that probability in GURPS?
A critical fail.
Yeah, order 3 or 4 is basically the same odds.
Yeah.
Just double checking so we know what we're...
And the other thing
critical
is...
Critical fail, your manoeuvre drive will conk out.
The jump drive is inaccurate.
That's fine, isn't it?
It's only a bit... I mean, it's already a very...
Can we concentrate on our pros rather than our cons column for a moment?
It's a sexy jump drive. And it can jump in closer than other things. It can jump in more accurately than other things when it's working. Right now, it's not completely working.
It's far better than it was.
Well, yeah.
What, you mean before it wasn't working?
I don't know what this bit does, though.
But mostly it comes out in the same universe it went in. So, you know, that's pretty good.
Well, you think so? Except everyone was blue the last time.
Because you left a large random number with a friend on shore.
This piece of metal at one point was a flower for a little while. But don't worry about it. It turned back into a piece of metal, just a slightly different colour than it was.
Yeah, John,
what kind of drive is this?
Not again.
So, yeah.
He always says that before he goes to the toilet.
Well, I've put the briefing somewhere. I don't know why.
Right. So, what about armament?
So,
sort of range can we threaten another ship at?
We've got a laser blaster thing, haven't we?
Okay, now I don't know whether Nick is using Traveller ranges or GURPS ranges because the differentials are quite important. But I suspect it's Traveller ones. What we have is a particle beam.
Right.
Which is the turret that is working. And they call it a Barbette.
It works very well.
And any military historians will understand why I say do not explore the etymology of the word Barbette. It has been used to mean so many different things.
Mm-hmm. More Barbie, yeah.
But in practice, big turret. Yeah. Great big turret, great big gun. I mean, personally, I would have put in a fixed mantle on the spine of the ship, but what can you do?
Yeah. Now, I presume even though I've got gunner, I can't use that while I'm piloting.
Not at the same moment. Unless... I would argue, and this is a thing for the GM, but if you...
Might be able to put it, fix it forwards.
If you leave the turret locked forward, then you can aim it by aiming the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's a thing to consider. The other turret,
I think the
which
problem
is
not currently
working,
not...
is the missile turret.
Well, we haven't got any missiles anyway at the moment,
yeah.
So why worry?
Now, in GURPS spaceships combat... Missiles are way longer range than particle beams, but I suspect this is not the case in Traveller combat.
Well, we're using GURPS.
I don't know, actually.
we'll consider that.
And our defensive capabilities?
I guess the thing about missiles is they're easier to have countermeasures to.
You can shoot them down.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you just threw bags of sand out, open a grit box and get a shovel.
They don't work against missiles or particle beams, so we don't need to care.
If you fix the turret, you can put whatever you like in there.
Yeah.
It's fine by me.
Right now, our defences are armour.
Oh, God.
there are
and
no,
piloting.
There are no force fields, approximately.
Oh, God. I was expecting some sort of countermeasures. You know, they have a missile lock. Don't worry, deploy the... Why is this section of the control blank?
Three countermeasures sweep back up and running, yes.
So...
I owe you one set of countermeasures. Love.
So, from a... Okay. From a broader strategic point of view, Ozan would say... For this to be a successful campaign, we need the concept that there is a fleet of pirates attacking the ship. So I agree with Rosane that restoring the obfuscatory...
The holographic hull.
Colour changing. The hull capabilities seems to be the greatest strategic priority.
There's a really nifty thing I think I can do. I've seen...
Watch movies on it if you sat outside?
Well, you could actually do that.
Yes, in theory.
And there's no flaw in that
plan
either.
Win over the other colonies. Fly over, Porky's on the side of your ship.
So, what, we're going to sort of approach these, keep radio silence, approach a potential target, and then flash, please stop.
I like it.
Mm. How many ship shares have we managed to wrangle up between us?
Two total, 6 points.
Yeah. So, whatever we do is 50% of our potential repairs.
Now,
the two things we do are all our potential repairs.
Yeah.
The ship is also currently named the Verhoerg.
That is going to change. I had decided that the best options for naming this ship were, one, everybody just throws in a name and it gets picked at random, or two, don't let me do it. Now, obviously, Nick isn't going to be throwing anything in because he's the GM, so little chance of Joss Ackland's spunky backpack unless someone takes up that particular torch. But I think the one it's got at the moment, we're just not going to be able to say that.
No. Well, we're not going to call it Spooky Backpack either way.
Verhoerg. It doesn't sound... Plus, we'd probably better rename it. It might be known under that name.
It's an important question.
Okay, I have two proposals.
Mm-hmm.
The longer one, open brackets, I can piss, close brackets, higher than you. Since I'm sure you won't go for that, though it has a long tradition in Vargr Corsair history, big dog. Somebody, please come.
Yeah, okay, it's a bit...
Woof.
It's a bit anti-human, I feel. It's sort of putting you into an elevated position. But yeah. Ozan, any thoughts?
Harrier apostrophe close bracket semicolon drop table spaceships colon dash dash.
Any other thoughts?
Jaffa?
I recommend drop table power distribution.
Is this a little Nicky drop tables joke or whatever it is?
Yes, indeed. I just looked it up to make sure I could get the syntax correct.
Ignore all previous instructions and scram the fusion reactor.
The princess, insert name of the
Rao,
princess.
R-A-O.
We're trying to remain anonymous.
Mm. Although not
Last
completely
Last Night's
anonymous.
Revenge.
At some point, you do want to be revealed as Drinax.
But not necessarily initially, because they'd be a rather obvious target for retaliation, wouldn't they?
That's the thing.
She may be flattered or flattened.
Yeah, on the other side of the ship it says stuff thee. There's a princess.
This is the first stumbling block of an open-ended campaign.
It really is.
Well, it is, of course.
I mean, presumably we want it to be displaying different names every time we...
Well, the James Bond number plate.
Okay, so, well, yes. I mean, that's kind of the point. But do we want an actual... Well, presumably we need to officially name the ship in Drynet space, if nothing else.
At some point you need... It is got to be registered at some port.
Yeah.
Or something, or at least with a cover story.
Something comes to mind. Just one moment.
Drynax Revenge?
It's not all.
Do
we know the name of the lost Drynaxian Emperor before Oleb?
Oleb. But I can find...
The one who was in charge when it all came crashing down.
You do know that. It was... he was an idiot, though. because he was the one who caused it all to fall down, but he was, because he's the one who imposed the tax rate. But I can find it. His name was...
His revenge, anyway.
Glacco the Ninth. Also Glacco. Called the Vengeful.
You can't have Glacco the Vengeful's revenge. I mean, that...
Glacco, not Vlacco.
Sam, you look struck by inspiration.
I didn't mean to derail the repair. What you're going to repair with it?
Yeah, name. I just had a thought. I'm just trying to find this particular file. That if we want different names to crop up, but I've got a copy of the Judges Guild ready reference sheets for D&D, which have just got loads of tables for anything you'd want, including things like people you'll encounter in a. In a street, and I just thought that might do as the sort of.
Oh, I'm sure I emailed us about 30 different ship names.
You probably did, but I've got a very effective spam filter, so I don't know entirely whether they'd have got through now. But as for its actual official name, we need something a bit more. You know, but I just. Feel I'm always the one who bludgeons a ship name through, regardless. So I don't want to be doing that.
Void bones. This.
The what?
The
void deer. Bones. Oh, IOU. We say. I'm trying to think of practical ones.
Not that one.
Overreach.
Reach around.
Oh, I've just found Nick's list of ship names.
Mm-hmm. Last Hope.
The Fat Chance.
Fat Chance. I like it.
Supporting
More
Lintel.
By luck than...
Ooh. The what?
Supporting Lintel.
Everyone will think it's Lentil and we'll have a lot of explaining to do. We can't... Do with that True. Kind of distraction.
More by luck than judgment. They're a Cayley band that was at a relative's wedding. They're pretty
oh,
good.
Yeah.
It's a good name.
Bride of Innsmouth.
Why not? Why not Pride of Innsmouth? I mean, I like let's have some pride in the ship, you know?
Hmm.
I like the idea of Pride of Innsmouth.
If you can handle being in something that's pride rather than pack.
Well,
that's a good point. It is a bit Aslan-y, isn't it?
No, all the graphic holes.
Oh, they're not cats. The they just look tentacles. A bit like cats.
So what are you repairing on it?
Right, well, we need to think about what we're going to be doing, I think, so that we repair the most useful bit for our initial mission.
Mm. Well, I think you said holographic hole initially, but...
Yeah, but...
I won't hold you to
Have we got escape capsules or anything? Am I being a bit crazy there? Or...
No.
No, you can jump out of the spaceship and then you can die in space.
Right, so we haven't even got that foam that...
in some of our cases, eventually, but yes. I didn't say that.
So, one chip share will...
this is a tongue twister. Right.
Who shall ship shares on the
share,
starboard port?
Two ship shares will fix the jump drive.
All the countermeasures.
All the countermeasures.
All the manoeuvre drive.
All the manoeuvre drive. I think maybe the power plant and the... holographic hull initially, and then with maybe trying to fix the engines and stuff.
Yeah, it works for me.
I mean, the problem I've got is I can't fix the engines once we actually leave dock. So I can do it.
No, I suppose that, yeah.
We have to make sure we don't put ourselves in a position where the timing of the manoeuvre drive is critical.
Well, you as can come as, back to Drinax.
As long as the pilot doesn't screw up, it'll be fine.
No critical fail. I mean, you are... you're safe to come back to Drinax at any point.
And, to be fair, we could fix... We could have the manoeuvre drive fixed, but that would be all we could do. And I don't think that removing that chance feels worth giving up on the discrete aspect of the whole.
We also need about four or five different names.
Mm.
So,
and if we're going for, are we going down the?
Aha! Found it.
Maybe the.
We could easily string together a few of these. Few of these random tables to come up with something useful. For example, the sympathetic jester.
Oh, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So currently you've fixed the holographic hull and the power plant.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, then... It's over to you. You're welcome to explore the floating palace. You're all a bit stir crazy, of course.
I'm going to be probably just doing a little bit more maintenance on the ship, just making sure everything's sorted.
Obviously, I'll be reading the manual just to learn if it's had any changes from your standard run of the mill 200-year-old exotic ship.
Sam, I am going to give you some stuff that you've picked up on the palace, because you're always interested in information about the older civilizations and ancient empires. Mm-hmm. You hear about Captain Envy's cavern. 200 years ago, there was a captain that stumbled across a hidden stash of Sindalian Empire equipment. He was on the run from some enemies, none of whom were powerful, but collectively added up to much more than he could deal with. According to the story you heard, in a very posh space bar, space bar.
Yates.
A space bar. A space bar.
Apparently, he hid his ship in a cavern that he found on some canyon in some nameless out-system rock. And he built some sort of base there. But he disappeared for a while. And when he came back, he had a much more powerful ship than when he started. He destroyed on his own a 3-ship pirate band and a starport merchant. With his strangely potent starship, he became rich in a short period of time and set himself up as a baron. Other versions of the tale said he was a pirate and pillaged the neighboring systems around him. But his ship was eventually destroyed in a battle with a frigate. Leaving his stashed loot somewhere waiting to be found. So he found some stash of old Imperial stuff somewhere. That's the rumour you've heard. The name of this captain, Jomo Envy. Jomo Envy. You pick up from the nobles. The problem with the Drynex Palace is everyone is a noble. They were all there when the planet got destroyed. They can all lay some sort of claim to nobility. Even though they clean out the toilets, they are the 15th in line to the Duke of wherever. So they all look down on you.
The Duke of Marigolds.
Duke of Flushing.
But after some talk, you come up with this information.
Well, the problem with that is it's just way too vague and unlikely to be usable, so I would need to narrow it down a bit.
You definitely need to narrow that down a bit, but it's
I wonder if there's any... what if there's a library?
Absolutely, there is an extensive library
I should be spending some time in an extensive library. I've no library abilities either. I'm basically an amateur at everything.
Well, there are the archives at the Floating Palace. You have been given access to the head librarian, who has a distinctive accent. And he can, if you go and ask him, this is the High Corn Shonery, who has been...
I think I'm going to put in a request through the online system.
He can investigate for you. I would like, let's have a look at your character sheet. If you, well, so
while completely inappropriate character sheet.
Let's see what sort of skill would be kind of library use in GURPS.
Research.
Okay, let's have a research role. Does that?
Yeah, don't have that one either. Archaeology.
I have all the GURPS.
It's going to be IQ related, I imagine, but God knows what. This is where I think GURPS fell down.
Plus two.
It doesn't have a sort of standard.
The
roll your int. Basically, I think research off the top of my head is IQ minus two.
IQ minus five. So IQ minus three because you got plus two for. The assistance of high
corn. So, needing nine, I've rolled seven.
Oh, whoa. Cool. Okay.
Can I just point out how surprised in the voice of the GM was?
I was fairly surprised myself.
You actually putting a few pieces of witness statements together and some actual first-hand evidence, you can actually narrow it down to the Tilawa sector or the Drinex sector as was.
Because sector's still not that small.
I mean, it's a lot, but you may be able to narrow it down further. In very mechanical terms, you have gained two clue points towards this particular clue. And when you get to a certain level,
okay,
you will be able to narrow it down further. That you think is all you can find in the Library of Drinax, but it's definitely closer than you might think.
Is there anywhere else we could find that sort of
knowledge? Well, that's what Sam's doing while you're all sort of preparing for your first jaunt, I guess. Do you have a plan of where you want to go? Would you like an introductory adventure, or do you just want to head off?
A real introductory adventure would be helpful.
Let's try it anyway. We can always ignore the plot and go sideways, and not that Portsmouth ever does that or anything.
Yeah.
yes, absolutely.
I mean, to be fair, we're going to start doing whatever we're doing, and then we've got 2 weeks of nothing.
That's true. So we'll just sort of squeeze ourselves into... sorry, I'm just writing something down.
That was two clue points, was it?
Yes.
Two of Blue's clues.
Okay. So you've been working... You've all been working fairly solidly on ship names. Sam has been moonlighting in the library. When after probably this is a few months into the sort of mission while you've been wondering about where to go, the current date is the 14th day of 1105, if that is of interest to you. So 1105, effectively January, whatever that means in any meaningful sense in an interstellar campaign. But it is the 14th of 1105. King Oleb summons you all to the audience chamber. Now, presuming you go, otherwise it's going to be very short introduction.
Of course, yes.
The meeting chamber is nearly empty, as it was when he gave you your letter of mark and your introductions a few months ago. he summoned you here as an emergency, kind of basically, get in here now. I'm afraid I can't imbue Oleb with the same sense of gravitas as Michael Kuehl, but I'll do my best. There is a sort of a fairly bland looking elderly woman standing by the throne, as well as Lord Rax, looking like he's got a face of a bag of slap twats, as they say, in this part of the world.
Do they?
Do they say that?
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
What seems to be the trouble?
How goes the preparation? Are you ready?
Great. Great. So,
have you
so
named
the
vessel?
When you're not in the Navy, wouldn't you say?
That seems to be proceeding well.
I see you've been performing some repairs on the old dog. Oh, sorry. Present company accepted.
Now you can't have an awkward silence when you're a king. Come on.
Hang on.
Oh, sorry.
I think we're the ones having the awkward silence.
If that's the king. Yeah. No worries, you man. It'll be great. Lovely old ship.
Enough of the chit-chat. Margaret Blaine, he says very loudly. Margaret Blaine.
Now, those of you who have knowledge of the Trojan Reach or even the Imperium have heard the name Margaret Blaine. A very famous...
Now you've said Trojan Reach, I'm thinking pretty much like Mark, that it involves a nightstand and a fumble in the dark.
Also, if you have the knowledge of the Black Rib Nobbler, you will also know.
They're extinct, aren't they?
Yes, they were from a distant planet. Margaret, Meister of Pillage Blaine, show some respect. And he gestures to this fairly bland-looking elderly lady who stands up and nods. You are brought cups of tea, wondering why he's shouting this name at you. She was an extremely famous pirate. Until relatively recently.
Oh, respect.
Is that a good thing?
Sorry, I didn't very recognise you. Your flat faces all look the same to me.
Pleased to meet you, madam.
Oh, this is going to be too
much fun. That was a perfect counterpoint to the charm of the bargain.
Possibly. I may not be playing him as such, but he does actually have charisma and voice, so...
Yes, yeah. I mean, you are very charming, man.
You old dog.
Let me hand you over to her. She has a proposition.
She smiles fairly politely. Yes, Mike.
I'm picturing your character Flashheart now. That's
oh, absolutely. He is one of my three influences, and I've forgotten the other two.
Where haven't I been?
My dear friend, she looks slightly perturbed, but soldiers on. My dear friend, the king has agreed, hopefully agreed to offer your services. I have a small task I could do. I could do with a subtle group of pirates. Plunderers.
Can you do a tweaky voice as well?
Don't get him started.
No. There must be a way of doing it. Tweaky tweaks.
The servants bring a huge plate of cheesy pasta.
Oh, I do hope you enjoy it, sir.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you, madam. Your Highness. Okay, get that one tacked.
I've come to an agreement with Margaret. You are going to make an attack on my behalf.
Which bit is that?
Margaret raises her eyebrows. There is a ship plying the spaceways, an unassuming far trader called the Sir Sendai. It's been moving back and forth along the Sindalian main for some years. The fact is, this was once one of my ships, one of my flotilla. In fact, it was the only ship I ever lost. It was captured in port. The crew got complacent and stupid, and have long since been dealt with.
But you'd like it back, perhaps?
I would like the ship back, or more importantly, there was a cache of items hidden on board which I would like returned. Now, I don't think they've found them, but I would like them back as soon as possible, please. Now, well, I'm a little sure suspicious that this... it was bought long ago by apparently reputable group of traders, but recently they've been behaving oddly. My contacts tell me, rather than refueling at high ports, they have been heading to gas giants, filling up their fuel tanks there and moving on out of a system in quite a hurry. And that's not the behaviour of entirely reputable traders.
Did you even put a purifier?
It did have a fuel purifier.
All of them don't.
Yes, it's a slow one. It would take some hours, but they seem to have been moving more quickly than I would expect. They're not moving like I would expect normal traders, which leads me to suspect...
Old place?
Well, that they may be vulnerable, let's put it that way, if they're moving outside of the normal trading. I don't care what they're into. I'm not interested what their clandestine activity is, but I am interested in the contents of my hidden cache, which contains some personal items which I would really like returned, as well as some valuable gemstones. It is worth considering that if they are carrying less legal equipment, they may be less likely to complain if you relieve them of it. But
so,
that's really disturbing.
So we're not going
I'm
to,
not
be
able to keep doing this for much longer. It's driving me up the wall having to type.
Yes.
You need a proper voice changer.
A perfect target for your first act of piracy. Practice on a bunch of idiots who don't know what they're doing.
It'll be like shooting Gamera.
We've got a recent sightings list.
Yes.
Not to mention where this very well hidden cache is and what this ship's armed with would be good.
Well, it wasn't armed when I lost it. I'm not sure it's armed now, but my information is not entirely up to date there. If they are following the route that they've been following, fairly soon they will be travelling to Marduk, and its outer gas giant. My feeling or my suggestion would be maybe you could wait for them there in some fashion and persuade them to get my equipment back.
Well, of course, if our hologram generator is working, we can wait for them in any fashion we care.
Well, I'll leave the fine details up to you. Ideally, I would accompany you, if that makes you uncomfortable. I can leave you an encrypted file which you can activate when you're there to find out where the cache of equipment is.
Well, I think we'd certainly benefit from your experience and knowledge. I believe we have enough... adequate staterooms?
You've got plenty. You've got 4 very posh staterooms and then 8 basically bunk rooms.
No objections here.
You only go to the particle, babe.
And a kennel.
I am. I have used them in the past, of course.
Excellent.
Yes. I'd be very happy to accompany you. But we must go soon. My sources tell me they will be there within a couple of weeks.
Well, we're almost ready to depart. Just a few supplies.
We can get it.
Yeah, just make sure the rest of the supplies are properly loaded and stowed.
Of course. Well, I'll meet you on board your ship.
It's going to take us at least 3 weeks to get there at J2, so...
Right. Okay.
Well, that may be a problem. In that case, it will be there within a month. I'll see.
It's going to be to ask them to slow down a little.
Yeah, maybe they go every if they go every 2 weeks, we'll be fine.
we can do it in two if we water refuel on Torpol.
We haven't got a
Torpol has a spaceport.
Pay for fuel.
Yeah, as far as I can see, you can do it in two jumps.
Yeah.
Besides, that again, I think it would risk revealing our hand.
Oh, we can gas giant skin at Torpol as well.
Yeah, there was a gas giant at Torpol. So, yes, time is of the essence. I shall gather my equipment and meet you on board.
And I shall familiarise myself with the control. Mirror, signal, manoeuvre.
Everyone's thinking the opening of Galaxy Quest now.
Mirror, signal, laser.
Now, are there any... You haven't got long, because as we've discovered, they will be there shortly. It will take you 2 weeks to get there. Anything you want to prep otherwise?
Take the full...
They learn more food.
I do apologise for the gentlemen with very large penises and the loud mufflers who are driving past the house. Okay.
Small penis, large muffler.
Oh yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you're yelling abuse at somebody, shouting that they've got a large penis usually doesn't bring them down a peg or two.
I'm assuming that's why they've got such a loud engine. It must be a sign of enormous...
We think it's dragging against the spokes, like putting a card in there or something.
Ooh.
Do you know, a playing card in the close bag feels so much nicer.
Well, you clamber on board the... Was it the Pride of Innsmouth? Is that what you're going with for the minute?
That's what I've written down.
Yeah.
It's beautiful inside. It's a bit on the ornate side. There are areas where it is... faded and sad. The bridge is there is a space for a captain basically to walk up and down the middle barking orders, and there are four.
You are not the captain.
You take positions on board. It's quite an exciting moment as the Pride of Innsmouth is loaded up with fuel for the first time, and you launch from the floating palace of Drynax. It is a fairly simple piloting role.
Although I should point out that I normally fly an automatic and this is a stick.
I think it's plus two. You've had enough time. Well, you're at no minus because you familiarise yourself with the controls. And you're at plus two. This is a starport you're quite familiar with.
I'm at plus two. Only an idiot could fail.
Plus two to your effective skill.
So my first die is a 6. Rolled 11, and I got a skill level with the plus 2 of 17. So I think I'm all
that
right.
That is pretty good. Smooth. You get out.
That's where all the points went, you see.
And fairly soon...
That's not a bad show.
You are at the 100 diameter limit. You need to be 100 diameters out from a large mass to jump. And then... Nobody knows why, other than it makes the game better.
I mean, you'd think it would work on mass, but no, it's size.
I think we agreed, Roger, when we talked about relativity. let's not think too hard.
First rule of Traveller Club.
Okay, we are going to need a fairly simple astrogation roll to plot your course to. Well, let's say the whole way there, but basically from Drynax to through Torpol to Marduk.
Well, we will be through.
Was it Ozan or who? Who was the
navigation engineer? Space?
Probably hyperspace. I think
hyperspace. Yep,
navigation,
the same
hyperspace.
They are the same. Let's go. Remind me what I'm rolling. 3d6. There we go.
Yep. Yes,
3d6.
That is under.
Senses to passive.
So we have a course plotted by Ozan, no trouble. Sensors are now in passive. Now we need an engine roll to, well, let's a pirating roll to get the approach correct. Sam?
Just without the bonus?
Just roll your
five.
That would be
then.
Critical.
That.
Will it? Oh,
incredible. That is going to give you, Jaffa, plus two on your engineering roll to activate the jump drive.
Well, I don't think he's going to need it. Is it engineer starship?
If you don't have something more specific, yes.
Let's go with that, yeah.
Actually, I might have. Have I got something?
It would be an engineer something else. So.
It'd be engineer jump drive, potentially. But we can stick
there's
with
mechanic jump drive. There isn't an engineer.
Oh, that's defective. Let's go with an engineer star. Yeah, yeah. But
it's one of these things where I foolishly went with the. With the template.
Yeah, the idea is you should have one thing that is your job skill, and that should, in theory, cover everything you do as a routine part of the job. So
I think that's fair.
So engineer as part of the jump drive and the rest of the ship is fine. It's just it doesn't help if you've got a jump drive on something else.
Ozan plots the course. Sam follows it to the letter,
anyway,
which makes
Chaffer's
job.
I've rolled 7 under 16, with so 5 under 16 with your plus 2.
There is a vague hum, the familiar tension in the muscles and the peculiar feeling in your bones as you exit the normal universe and transit into...
Pucker up, boys.
And you are now in the shadowy other world of hyperspace. And you're there for about a week, so if there's anything you particularly like to do...
Well, I'm just thinking, I've got gambling, and I'm betting that when a Vargr has a really good hand, they've got a really obvious tell.
Well, yes, easy to read is on the racial characteristics.
So, perhaps a few hands of cards, but the main thing I want to do is to see if we can find any pictures of the gas giant so that we can basically match our... holographic display to blend in.
That's a really good idea. Yes, you can certainly, the ship's library has kind of slightly fuzzy images of the gas giant. But
dot
you can
matrix, black and white.
Well, you can get the palette of it, if nothing else.
We'll refine it when we get there.
Has anyone got artist holographic?
Not at all.
Has anybody got any art whatsoever?
Or anything to do with them?
To be fair, you have got a week and then another week fairly shortly to faff around with it. You can definitely get the colours right.
It's just going to be broadly.
Yeah, it's chameleon drive. It's just basically the same colours.
I think you should make a gambling roll.
Oh.
Don't tell me you've got really good gambling. Well, it does occur to me that regardless of how well we blend in visually, they'll spot us on any kind of heat scan, won't they?
Yes.
Never mind that then.
Well, it depends what you're doing at the time.
Right.
As to how easy that will be.
Yeah, I've made a gambling roll there.
By how much?
Oh, I didn't say it succeeded.
Okay, well, I just rolled a 4.
Okay.
You do get a plus 4.
I'll see your...
easy to read.
I'll see your 4, and I'll raise you 14. If I get a plus 4, I've actually passed.
Over the course of a week, Sam, is what you discover is being able to read Rosen just makes it even more annoying as he sweeps the chips off the table.
You can tell he's got an amazing hand. It's just he can't do anything about it.
Margaret largely keeps to a cabin, but we'll chat along. She's fairly professional and a bit dull.
See, this is what we need to be. We need to be professional about piracy. We don't want to get overwhelmed by great riches and all the rest of it. She should be our first target if we can recover this stuff.
she's not really giving you advice, but you can tell that she's following what you're doing and seems interested in your plan.
Does she occasionally just sort of appear looking over the piloting seat tut disapprovingly and then walk away? It's
very much that kind of level of mentorship. Yeah.
Runs a finger over something, discovers it's completely clean because I have very high housekeeping.
Nods approvingly.
Yeah.
A week later, with a familiar thrum and brightness... sorry, Jeffer, continue.
All I was going to say is, Sam, space pilots never do that.
It does
feel like a bit of a...
Right, so I would do anything for space piloting, but I won't
do that.
Oh,
I was just thinking, George, don't do that. But
yeah.
A week later, there is a thrum and a pulse, and anywhere you wanted to appear in the Torpol sister. sister.
That is an offer.
You may do. Torpol is a war.
Has it got any moons?
But you may be better. I mean, it is an inhabited world. You may be better aiming at a gas giant.
Well, I was thinking the gas giant, and it's likely to have quite a number of moons, isn't it? So we could perhaps use one of them to aid our ambushing.
This is just the refueling stop.
This is the refueling stop.
Oh, sorry. We're a bit early.
So if you're not landing
at
the
start... It does give us good practice in gas giant manoeuvres.
Okay. So you appear relatively close to a gas giant. Sam, there's going to be... not that you're the linchpin of the group or anything. But you have spent a week studying Torpol's gas giant as well. I'll give you +2 to refuel.
That is +2, 7. So, yes.
Okay, no problem. You refuel. Ozan has already done a pretty good astrogation to get to Marduk. Was it Marduk you're heading to?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And...
Just want another jump.
Yeah, basically, Sam's already done pretty good manoeuvre to get there, so Jaffa, we just need you to press the button. Literally all you need to do.
Okay, so 11 and a 16.
There is a woof! And then the jump drive...
You can't help yourself, can you?
The jump drive activates, and you vanish into the shadowy other world of hyperspace. A week later, so we're now 3 weeks in, you emerge.
Oh, I wake up.
Have you been asleep the whole time?
Not the whole time, but I do spend a slightly unusual amount of time sleeping, eating, and sitting staring blankly into space. This is very normal.
Is it?
You emerge near
the
gas giant. In the system of Marduk. Marduk itself is a tuppenny halfpenny place. But you are not so interested in that. The giant, gas giant, floats 100 diameters away from you because you landed exactly where you wanted to. Margaret on the bridge says, "And now we wait."
Let's get ourselves into a position that would make it less easy to
In the shadow detectors, of the moon.
Well, yes. Okay. So you're going to hide behind a moon, basically. Is that your plan?
Yes, but not one that's going to block us from seeing anything, because that would be a bit embarrassing if they arrived, refueled and left. We just hadn't seen them.
This seems like an excellent time for me to roll whichever of tactics or strategy you think is appropriate to determine which moon we should lurk in it.
That's a good question. It's more
strange. They're the same, so it probably...
Because we don't exactly know where they're coming in, do we?
Much more convenient if they're the same.
Let's not argue semantics.
For this, it would be tactics, because you're actually talking about individual ship versus ship.
Right, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's have a tactics roll then, as you are also the astrogator.
That is exactly on.
You figure, from where the normal jump point is, they're going to have to probably come in at this angle, So your best bet is to be that moon there. That'll cover most of our heat emissions. If we, and also the planet will be right behind us, so we can disguise. Yeah, okay, you're fairly happy. You're not 100% sure. There are a few options. You go for the one that feels
seems,
right.
Seems reasonable, yeah.
I will fire up the countermeasures suite to have it ready for sensor confounding.
Is this just the garbage chute? You just point it in the right direction and throw some recycling in.
Excuse me, this is an extremely sophisticated and expensive piece of electronic equipment to fight
fair enough
in the right direction.
And you wait for the arrival of the freighter Sesendai.
I study all of the data we have on it.
Can someone roll me a single dice?
Mark.
Five.
Just one ping.
Oops. 5 effing days you're waiting there. 5 days. Nothing's happening. You are getting fairly knocked off with the whole thing. Let's have a sensors roll from Rusan, please.
Okay, have I got any modifiers for the ship?
You don't get any penalties for
the
ship.
Yeah, fair enough. Pass by 4.
You sense, or your senses tell you, a ship has just emerged from jump space way further out than it should do if it was planning to go anywhere near Marduk Highport. What did you make it by? 4?
4.
It's a fairly small ship, in the range of a trader ship.
Tally-o traps, sneaky bastard.
It is heading towards the gas giants, presumably to reach. And at that point, I guess we'll leave it there while you decide
what you're
going to do.
Thank you
very much indeed.
That's excellent.
Mm-hmm. All right, and I think it's over to Mark for a few weeks, I think.
Mm. Well, we will. Yeah. So obviously, in good Roger's absence, and we decided that we would not carry on with this. We will. And do some more fudge on the fly. If
yay!
Okay.
You realise that doing things like this stops me from shuffling the episodes out of order, of course.
Just clip that bit out.
Clip that bit out and nobody will pay any attention.
That's what I do.
What, on this 5th day of May?
Anyway, I'll see you, most of you, in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Have a fun holiday, Roger.
Yeah, off to Burryham and back.
Excellent. Have a fun convention thing.
Yeah.
Have a good time. See you all soon.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. Have a great time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.